on this week's show.
We waffle on for ages about some of our favourite TV shows.
Man, for the first time in your life, please just shut the fuck up!
And we get excited for E3.
Stay tuned. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, gamers and geeks alike. It's this week's Monkey Nut Punch Podcast. And as with all these podcasting journeys, I've got Nigel sitting next to me.
Hello, Nigel.
Hello, mate.
I wasn't happy that you phoned it in last week. You literally fucking phoned it in last week.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry. There was a big booming voice that would have talked over every word I would have said. So, you know, it made no difference.
Yeah. Anyway, on this week's podcast, we will be talking about The Walking Dead, especially the leaving of Andrew Lincoln, or Rick Grimes, who is the central character that The Walking Dead revolves around. Then I'm going to talk to Nigel about his indoctrination. I can only describe it. Into watching the first two series of The Expanse on Netflix. And then we're going to talk about Silo Flops. And then we'll be going into gaming news and stuff. So we'll be talking about stuff that's coming up in E3. So we'll be talking about Assassin's Creed Odyssey, Fallout 76, Watch Dogs 3, and then we'll go through PlayStation games versus Games for Gold on Xbox. And I think if you're a PlayStation owner this week, spoiler... this month, sorry, you're looking for a good one because it's got XCOM 2.
Absolutely.
Fabulous. But we'll talk about that later on. So, first things first, Walking Dead. Walking Dead is losing Andrew Lincoln 6 episodes into the next season. He hasn't renewed. He probably had a fucking long contract.
Well, yeah. Mainstay.
Yeah, but I think it's got to do... I think it's got more to do with the fact they killed off... what's his mush? What's his kid's name? I can't remember.
Carl.
Yeah, Carl. The fact they killed off Carl.
Carl.
I think it's probably got more to do with the fact they killed off Carl more than anything else. Because I think that maybe Andrew Lincoln believes that was a character kind of anchored him to the whole story. And it's funny, they killed him off because I heard a quote from the creator who turned around and said that it is the story of Carl.
The whole
The Walking Dead,
Walking
yeah.
Dead is centered around Carl, yeah. Not Rick.
Rick just happens to be his dad. He's grown up through this whole thing.
You're kind of
seeing it through his eyes.
I can see that, yeah.
So Rick is either going to die mid-season or just fuck off. Rumours is he's just going to fuck off in case they need him to come back. Apparently they offered Norman Reedus $20 million for the lead. I don't know if he took it.
I don't know.
Because he might be like kind of, you know what, if Andrew's going, I might fucking go too. It may be a time to call this thing a day.
It could well be. With all the nonsense that was going on in the previous seasons with Negan and his copious amounts of people that he could call upon with a drop of a hat, it was getting a bit silly in that regard. But story-wise, was reasonable. And the end of the last season where Maggie and Daryl... And who else was in that room? Jesus Christ,
he was against them.
You can't win anything when he's against you. So, they're all in a room plotting against Rick and Michonne. So, it didn't look like it was going to end well for Rick and Michonne anyway because of that. But Rick's probably sat, the character Andrew Lincoln, he's probably sat there and gone, I don't actually like the way the plot is moving because we've gone through so much together as characters, gone through so much together from the start, especially with Daryl. I think Daryl is his number two, always his number two, never strayed, never done. There's been questionable bits between them, especially in the last season. They had a little bit of a lover's tiff, a bit of a fight. But, mate, who doesn't have a little tiff here and there with their mates when they're strongly passionate about something? So that, I don't think, would have treated Dal to turn his head and start. Yeah. And Maggie, I don't understand where she's...
No, I get Maggie. Maggie's the only one out of those ones I get. Jesus, I don't get. I don't get Jesus. Jesus should be all about forgiveness. Sounds funny because it sounds like talking about the Jesus.
Yeah.
Not the character Jesus. Maybe I should call him Jesus.
Jesus.
Yeah, but he... I don't get him.
No.
And the thing is, it's ironic because out of all the characters, if one person wanted to have Negan killed and would kill them, like, straight off, it would be Carol. That's the one person you want, like, Carol, yeah? Because she, like, lives out in a bungalow on her own. So she'd walk into Alexandria, they'd be happy to see her. She'd walk in there, kills Negan and fucks off. No one's going to say anything. No one fucking messes with her.
So I don't know whether or not what happened in the previous season, or seasons, because it went on a bit long with Negan, is something that contributed towards Andrew Lincoln saying, "Yeah, do you know what, mate? I'm out."
Do you think he's been offered a Marvel job? Seriously, he could be offered a Marvel job. We'd be happy to see him in a Marvel role.
What do you think he could play? I don't know Marvel too well. Not like you.
I can't think of anyone off the top of my head. Because I think if they were going to... Sounds awful. Because they changed Nick Fury from being white to black in like the late 90s, early 2000s, when they wanted him to be Samuel L. Jackson. And they literally drew him as Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh, right.
But before then, he could have done a white Nick Fury. He's not going to get a white Nick Fury, all right? Just make that blatantly fucking clear.
No. Well, Nick Fury is gone.
Or
thanks
is
to Thanos.
Yeah, thanks to Thanos. There's characters he could play. But it depends. Because the other thing, too, is the actress that plays Michonne, she's some fucking Black Panther and Infinity War.
She was great in... She was great as that character.
Yeah. Well, she was in Infinity War. I never saw Black Panther, but...
No, Black Panther, she was... yeah.
I always made a joke when my wife was watching it. Then there's when you got Rick and Michonne together, and because all of a sudden it just goes quiet, they're not saying anything.
Mm.
And I'm like, I whisper, it's like, kind of, have you seen me in Black Panther yet? And then he like whispers back, goes, no. And then she's like, why fucking not? Because I just love the idea. Because and then when
it's
he got to,
awesome.
And when he got to the last episode of The Walking Dead, I said, "Because have you seen me in Infinity War? I was fucking awesome."
And that's when he's turned around and gone, "Do you know what? That's it. Fuck it. I quit. I'm not renewing on it. I've been typecast here."
Yeah, it's one of those things. Ironically, the Fear the Walking Dead apparently had a bigger audience than The Walking Dead last season at a few points.
What season are they on now? Because I gave up after
four
the first.
Or five. The annoying thing is they killed off my favourite character. Well, they've killed off two of my favourite characters, actually. They killed off Strand, I think it was the black guy with the boat, who I really enjoyed as a character.
I remember...
And the dad, the Mexican dad who was part of the, I don't know, some kind of organised crime thing. They killed two of the people off. And then the son, who was like my third favourite character... Who seemed to...
Was he the ex-druggie?
He was the ex-druggie who seemed to do really well in the apocalypse. They killed him off recently, and I think that's the bit where they had the spike in views for Fear the Walking Dead, is when they killed him off.
Yeah, I might go back to that. I watched the first season when it came on Amazon Prime. I did watch that. Got to the end of the first season, and I was waiting for the second season to come out. Because I remember initially in the UK, it wasn't out. It was out in the US,
yeah.
But it wasn't out. We had to wait almost a year, I think. Yeah. It was a year before we could watch it on Amazon Prime. So for us, it was a long wait. And then once we watched the first season, you had to wait again. And it was already in season two, probably going on to almost season three by then.
Yeah, that was the whole thing with fucking the BT thing, which is a stupid deal. They should have just done stuck to FX like they did with The Walking Dead.
Yeah, absolutely. You'd think... I think way back when we were in the name of Game and Facepunch, we were speaking about this and we said it seems ridiculous for them to move from FX, which The Walking Dead has done so well on, with such good ratings and high amount of people watching, why they would then allow it to go to BT in the UK, which barely anyone's got unless you've got broadband with them. or you pay an extra subscription fee for, which is you're not going to pay an extra bit, an extra X amount of pounds per month just to see The Walking Dead because they haven't got much else.
I'll be honest with you, I've kind of reached the conclusion that TV should be an a la carte option now, where it's like kind of, I want to buy this season of The Walking Dead, so it's 25 quid for the entire season for me. So I lop down my 20 quid, and then each week when the episodes come out, I get them. I can download them the moment they're available, and I can watch them.
Mm.
Yeah, and then the same for all the other programs. And that way, instead of having to worry about advertisers and upsetting them, you just have to worry about your customers, because your customers now are the people directly buying this.
I would accept that if they didn't chuck adverts in where the adverts are.
Yeah, no adverts.
They'd have to remove.
Yeah, otherwise it won't do it. It's a box set sort of thing.
Yeah.
Well, you can buy it. Yeah, even
I have seen it where some of these downloadable programs where you've done it either on demand or whatever, but they've still stuck the adverts in. You're going, well, I've downloaded it, so I'm just going to fast forward through the adverts. So you might as well just fucking remove them, mate.
Yeah, they should sell it to you direct, and do it. And that should be the new model. It should be that. That's the case. I buy it, and I have several. I have several options to buy it. I can buy it through Google, Amazon, even Netflix could sell it to me. I'd be happy. Actually, to be honest with you, if you did it through via Netflix, I'd be happy because I don't have to then do it. So I get my standard Netflix subscription stuff, and I get my a la carte stuff. So, you know, it's one of those things. So I'd definitely be buying TV series like The Walking Dead, The Expanse. I'm not sure about Doctor Who. Depends. It's all about Chris Chibnall. Fuck the whole woman thingy. You've got someone who can't write stories in charge. That's the problem.
Well, that'll be on the BBC anyway, won't it? So we can take that or leave it. I mean, I started losing my way with Doctor Who, and I didn't watch the last four episodes. So... yeah, I can see where you're going for. If the writing was sort of, if he had an influence on the last few episodes of Doctor Who last season, might have been.
He had an influence on the Christmas special because he refused to write a Christmas special.
Oh, okay.
That's a great fucking way to start your job off. I refuse to write the Christmas special. Really? Seriously? I'm like, oh my God. It was like, okay, you refuse to write the Christmas special. That's what we want to hear. That makes you worry. But I'm worried that it's going to be heavily agenda-driven. But let's skip over that because I don't want to talk about that shite.
Mm.
Shall we talk about something a bit more exciting? Talk about The Expanse. Because I've been force-feeding you. I've been making you watch the fucking Expanse. Well, I haven't really been making you watch it. I joke about it, but I've been pushing you. It's like, have you seen that? You want almost up to Series 3 so I can start lending the files I've got.
That is very true. And I have been. And I've been binge watching best I can, because I'm not really a binge watcher, because I tend to watch two episodes and think about a third going, oh, is it a bit too much for my brain? But whereas people can just watch episode after episode after episode, and I'm not one of them peeps. But I have been catching up, and I am now at the end of season two, and I do enjoy it.
Good.
I've probably technically binge watched it more than I would any other episode of anything.
Oh, good. It's annoying because there's one character I really love is the Avicerella character, and you don't like her. And I'm like, oh, no. She's great. That's annoying.
The character's great.
Yeah.
What she does is great. Yeah. It's her voice that pisses me off.
Really?
I can't stand that 50 fag smoked a day gravelly voice who sounds like they've also been drinking 10 gallons of whiskey per hour. I can't stand, and I know her English isn't her first language and she does sound like she's forcing words out, but the character is great. What she does is great.
Hang on a second.
But it's just her, the way she speaks.
Okay, all right.
It just gets on my... I had tits, it would get on them.
What was it? Right, okay, because you're the second series, so you had there's a bit where there's an inquisition where they're asking Bobby about what happened on Ganymede.
Yeah.
And she says, oh, can I speak to her freely, to the Martian guy? Well, yeah, you can talk to her freely. And it's like, kind of, oh, so he starts asking questions, and he turns around, he turns around to Ava Savalo and goes, where are you going with this? He's taking us for a goddamn line. And yeah. she has the cuntiest smile on her face. To
yeah,
say,
she does.
She's saying one thing, but her face is saying, fuck you.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
I like that. I did laugh.
That made me...
Wherever I goddamn like.
Yeah. And she did it with a smile and everything. And that was just really... It was one of those moments where it's like, that's great. I really enjoyed that. I enjoyed that. Something chronic.
Yeah, I knew where she was going with that, and they knew where she was going with that. She was trying to establish.
Yeah, she's trying to find out what the fuck went on because she doesn't believe the story that they've been fed.
No, and she shouldn't, because the second that Bobby took the pill to make her mind sharper, the Martian pill to make her mind sharper and recall what actually happened on the surface of the Ganymede, they she then went, oh my god, there was somebody out there without a vac suit.
Yeah.
Then she realized, oh, there was a drone. Don't worry about a drone.
Yeah. That's...
As soon as somebody goes, don't worry about a drone, you're like...
Now I need to be worried about the drone.
So I need to be worried about the drone then.
Yeah. So it was... See, the other thing too, so you said that you really didn't like her when she started off. And I think I was the same when she started off because she was very... Very pro Mars.
She was so pro Mars, so well brainwashed, as it were. She'd been brainwashed as a kid, growing up in Mars, to dislike everything Earth.
Yeah,
and she took that mental attitude into the military and became a Marine, and she tried instilling that same attitude into her her team.
Yeah, but they had that attitude,
and they
too.
Had that attitude too anyway. So she didn't need to do too much. In regards to that, there was one bloke in her team who was born on Earth, but his parents emigrated to Mars for a better life or whatever.
Yeah.
And then he became a Marine, and obviously he gets shit
because
he's an Earther.
Yeah.
So he gets shit, and he got into a bit of a scuffle with his team. You know, forgiven.
Do you know what comments I like is the fact that your bones are all wrong. It's like, no, they're fucking not. They can break yours with ease.
Yeah.
I love that. It's like, your bones wrong. It's like, no, I grew up in the gravity well, a proper gravity well, with one full fucking G.
Yeah.
Not you with your 0.6 or whatever it is, or 0.4. You know, I love that. That's...
And that's something they touch on quite a bit when they're going to Earth.
Yeah.
As a... was it dignitary? No.
Diplomatic mission.
The mission. And they go there and they're saying, right, first you need to take this pill. Because Earth's gravity is stronger than ours.
Yeah.
And then you've got to take this other pill once a day. And then you've got to take this pill. Don't forget this one, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. And this is to Bobby, the leader who
survived the attack.
I like the fact that they've got... And when they all walked off, they're all wearing sunglasses because they're not used to the sun
being as bright as...
Because Mars is further away from the sun than Earth, as you should know.
Yeah.
And, so that made sense. And obviously, when they start walking out, one of them, she's ditched the glasses. Bobby's ditched the glasses. She goes, do you know what? Fuck this. I'm not going to show them I'm scared or whatever. Yeah. I'm not... I'm no typical Martian, whatever. That's going through her head. And, she stepped off. Immediately, one of the people falls onto his knees and pukes.
Yeah.
And then there was a reference to that. What's her face? The one I don't like.
Naomi.
I like Naomi.
Oh, Avasarala.
Avasarala. Her spy bloke that coerced into working for her.
Yeah.
Because he's not doing it freely.
Yeah, I know that.
He's coerced him to work... He's actually talking with her and her counterpart, the bloke who set everything in motion. They're talking something serious. And this spy bloke goes, well, if you want to brighten up your day, I've got a good footage of a Martian coming off and immediately puking everywhere. And they just look at him and he goes, maybe for later then. Little touches where they refer to stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
It's the other one that got me was one that I missed was there's a bit where Fred Johnson, in the beginning of the second series, where Fred Johnson's on Tycho and he's talking to the one that the factions of the OP, because the OP are like tribes, they're not properly connected.
Yeah,
and you've got
like, different factions.
Yeah, so you got one like you got like the Inaris group, the Doors group, the Black Sky group, and the Blacks. There's a bit where Avicera like gets her transport blown up. Yeah, she wanders out. I think if you remember it, she gets to wander out, and she's trying to listen on comms.
Oh, she's about to She gets a phone call or whatever, and she stops.
And the thing turns around and blows
and
up.
Blows up.
And the great thing about that is when they're on Tycho Station, the Black Sky people are freely fucking announcing it. Yeah, they're sitting there, oh, we attacked Earth and blah, 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 we almost got that bitch Avicera. And that's the guy who Fred Johnson then throws out the fucking door.
Ah.
And it's just these little bits are tying really well. Even the bits where you're not paying attention, they are tying in really well. So it's... I love all the little touches. The bit where... Because there's a bit in the book where Bobby goes out and she just has a wander into the streets, legitimately, rather than busting open a window and falling down some things.
Yeah, So
she goes off and she goes for like she stops at a cafe and she has a general chat with people and stuff. And that's when she starts realizing they're not monsters.
No,
they're not monsters. First things first, she realized is when she gets out, she has a little there's a like, monologue inside her head is the fact that we train at 1G and we're trained to beat Earth, but if we got down here and we went for a fight to fight, we would fucking lose. We would lose. We couldn't cope with the gravity. We couldn't cope with the numbers. We haven't got enough bullets to kill everyone. And there's no way it would work. And that kind of she starts tapering herself, kind of adjusting herself to her environment rather than trying to get her environment to adjust to her. And that's great because you see her learning.
Yeah, and you saw there was a switch flicked in her head during the Inquisition in the thing. When afterwards, the bloke, I don't know, she knows he knows her father.
Oh, I can't remember his name. He looks like a creepy guy.
Yeah, fucking knob end. And he confines her to the quarters by saying, you said something wrong, you didn't do what you were meant to do, etc., etc. So you're not allowed to. All she'd done is said, I'd like to see the ocean before we leave.
Yeah, yeah.
I just want to see the ocean. He's like, no. You're not doing that. You're staying in your quarters, blah, blah, blah.
I love the fact that she goes, no, fuck that. And then she starts peeling away the bits on the window to get out.
Yeah. And then I think she loses her bearing a little bit, doesn't she, when she gets out. So she's not used to the gravity and whatnot still. Yeah. She falls all the way down to the floor, gets up and fucking legs it.
Yeah.
And that's when Avicera finds her through spy matey.
Yeah.
And has a little quick word in her ear.
she shows him. They show her the design documents for the hybrids.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. She said this isn't an Earth design, and then she gets taken back to the thing, gets told that she's no longer a Marine, which was her life.
Yeah,
and that's probably flicked the switch by Matey Boy, and she. And she's sitting there, asks to see him, goes to his office, interrogates him.
Yeah.
He's giving her shit, so she knocks him the fuck out.
See, that's the other thing I like about the Expanse. So if you watch Bobby fight, she fights like a woman fighting a man, because there was a Marine that came in and she smashed his head into the wall because there's no way she could have punched him and knocked him out.
No.
And it leaves a lovely blood stain against the wall when she does it. And it's just having those little attention to details that kind of make me really grateful for it, because she's like tough, but she doesn't. It's not like stupid tough.
No.
As in plot armor tough. She's genuine. And that always put a kind of a big grin on my face. The other bit was she's like, Avicera and Courtier talk to her on the beach saying, look, if you can help us, you can tell us what we, you know, anything so we can avoid going to war, because we don't want to go to war.
Yeah.
And then she fucking legs it from the fucking Martian embassy across to the UN embassy.
Yeah.
And they've got a great shot from above where you can see the Martians all chasing her. And she runs and goes, I want asylum, don't shoot me.
Yeah.
And then she sees Avicera like, I said, I want you to help. I didn't want to say cause a diplomatic fucking incident.
Yeah.
She's got the tablet with all the data and stuff on it.
Yeah, she nicked it from the black after she I don't know if she killed him, she might have done.
No, she didn't kill him.
Or just knocked him out along with the guard outside.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was good. And I want to switch quickly to Amos and Holden.
I love Amos. Amos is a great character.
Amos, he's so simple. He's just so straight.
So the thing
down the lot, you don't. There's no if or buts with him. But he does mention, he does go against Naomi's orders at one point about doing something. And she, she then stabs him with some tranquilizer or something. And he, because he's trying to stop her from doing so. Oh, yeah, the refugees are trying to get off Ganymede. And he's saying, I don't think you should open that door.
Yeah.
It's going to be a stampede, etc. Yeah. She's like, no, I'm doing it. He grabs her arm and he goes, I don't think you should do that.
Yeah.
And so she stabs him sedative and realises he's actually a fucking big guy. Need another one.
Right in the heart.
Right in the... And that's when he's sitting there looking at her going, and slumps back in the chair.
Yeah.
And later on, there was a... After all that's said and done, and it's all she's managed to get back on and all that sort of stuff... He and her are trying to seal up some bits in the Rocinante, and she says, look, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. And he's saying, no, it's fine. He goes, I should have just taken your order.
Yeah.
And I didn't. And he goes, I've been trying new things. I've been trying to think for myself a little bit more recently, and turns out I can't do that.
Yeah. So, because this is, I think I had this conversation with Keith, but not with you, because Amos doesn't have, he lacks a moral compass, and he knows he lacks a moral compass, so he latches onto someone else and uses them as his moral compass. So he was latched onto Naomi, and now what he's done is, after that whole incident, he now latches onto Holden as his moral compass. And in the book, the fourth book, which will be a year and a half from now that you'll see it on TV, he explains this. He explains this outright to someone.
You sort of see that. That's why from the very outset he's always been latching onto Naomi, and the moment he thought I'm going to try new things, and he's latched onto Holden.
Mm. Well, there's no, it's before he latched onto Holden. He just
he took the initiative by himself.
Yeah, I think.
And
he
went, fuck, that was a wrong decision. He said, no, it was a wrong decision by me. You know, don't need to apologise and whatnot. And do you know when Holden and Amos are trying to get rid of the thing?
The protomolecule beast.
Protomolecule beast from the storage in the Rocinante. And Holden gets pinned to the wall.
Yeah.
After all that's finished and stuff, and Holden's in the med bay, he sort of goes, I am sort of seeing a lot more of a med bay than I was hoping to see on my trip.
Oh, because he's got cancer. He's got cancer for the rest of his life from the radiation
thing.
Stuff. Yeah,
and the leg thing from being pinned from that thing. And Amos is full circle now with Amos, because Amos then sort of taps him on the shoulder and goes, "I'm pleased he didn't kill you." And he goes, so am I.
Well,
and then he slaps him on the leg where he's got a fucking injury.
Well, we're supposed to say, I'm pleased I didn't have to kill you, where he's talking about pressurizing the hole and launching it out in space.
Basically, say, I'm glad you're not dead. Where if you think back to the first season, when Holden's first looking after that, it was the shuttle back then, when they came off the cant.
Yeah.
And Amos was saying to him, I'd kill you right now, but Naomi doesn't want me to.
Yeah.
So that's the full circle with Amos. He's realised... Oh, that's another thing. He's realised that Naomi really does like Holden because him and Alex had a bet.
Yeah, I like over that. Because they're all deadly serious.
They've decided that they're going to... Naomi and Holden are going to announce to the rest of the crew, just those two, that they are in a relationship, and I hope it's not weird for everybody, especially Amos, because he thought Amos might have a thing for her. And that was the funny bit, because as soon as they said it, they looked at each other, fucking Alex and Eamon high-five each other, and Alex goes, oh, fucking lost, Eamon. And he's getting ready to get punched on the arm by the earther, and he knows how much he fucking... He doesn't, he just gives him a wet willy in the ear.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, what? I'm they bet. Gearing up for...
Yeah, they I love bet the fact they bet a dead arm.
Bet a dead arm on it. And he fucked off, and then Holden's just talking to Amos by himself, and he's going, look, I thought you'd be funny. He goes, nah, she's like a sister to me. But if she'd asked me, I totally would do her.
I like that. That's like, honest.
That's so fucking Amos.
See, that's the thing you do like about him, because he has a very simplistic honesty about him. Even the violent side of him is honest.
Yeah.
And it's weird, because when you watch TV shows and stuff, and you're like, why don't you fucking kill them? Yeah, Amos is the person to do that.
Mm.
And
he wouldn't think twice.
He wouldn't think twice. And that's a great thing about that character. Alec is great, because Amos, his character changes again. Because you've got Amos, where he links, goes to Holden, and he becomes his moral compass and whatnot.
Mm.
And then further on, he then starts looking after someone. He meets someone on Earth during like a massive disaster, and then he starts looking after that person. And that person, that poor bastard's dying. So, you know, trying to make sure that they're, you know, looked after well and whatnot. And he changes again. The same like with Bobby. Bobby forms a weird relationship with Alex, where it's not like a sexual relationship, but they're like really, really good friends.
Yeah.
And it's great, because they put hints in from a book that's two, three books up the line about Bobby checking in on Alex's family from time to time, because Alex wants to check in on his family, but he's a bit like, I can't do it directly, and she does it for him. Which is really nice.
So Bobby and Alex actually meet.
Bobby and Alex meet, and they get
further down the line.
Yeah, further down the line, because that's like you are halfway through the second book, yeah, and there's eight, almost nine of them, and Bobby, as I said before, Bobby becomes a captain of the Rossinante in book 9 or 8. I can't remember which one. And she gets the fucking ship locked down on the first day. It's like the first day this separatist Martian group called the Laconians turn up, who have figured out how to master. They've mastered protomolecule technology, so their tech is a fucking
mile
thousands
apart,
of years in front of everyone. But they don't realize that there's a cost to using that, because the protomolecule aliens were wiped out by something, and whatever that something is now gunning for them. And that's how the book ended. And it's like, I have to have the next fucking book. And it's like December. It's like middle of December this year. But I'm going to really enjoy that. But The Expanse, what it does with characters is fucking great. Because they're all good characters in there. Even the bad guys are great characters. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Thoroughly enjoyed it. I think it's a good watch and good recommendation. So if you are a little bit bored of your normal sci-fi out in space stuff like Star Trek and other similar things, then, yeah, why not give it a shot?
It pisses over Star Trek Discovery. It really does. Okay. And Star Wars Solo.
Yes.
Flopped.
Apparently so.
Well, it didn't help that they had to fucking reshoot 80% of the film. So they had to reshoot 80% of the film. I think the original costing was like $200 million, I reckon it was about $400 million in total.
Wow.
So yeah. just for the production. And the worst thing is, when you hear about the box office figures, the box office figures were 100 and something million, yeah? And you hear about those box office figures being at 100 and something million, realise that they only really get to claim like one third of that cost. Yeah? So they haven't made enough money to cover it and break even.
No.
And this is the funny thing, that the reason I reckon that Solo flopped has nothing to do with the Han Solo film itself. And it's everything to do with the fact that everyone wants to return The Last Jedi. It would have been better if it was Return of the Last Jedi. The Last Jedi. They watched it and they just went, I've had enough. Because
well, I know you did.
Yeah. I think this is one of the things. I think it's a mixture of things. I think one of them is the fact that Return of the Last Jedi was just a poor film all round. It was shot beautifully and produced beautifully, but the dialogue, what happened, character motivations, all the things that kind of make a good story without a budget, yeah, which you can make and survive on, weren't there.
No.
And therefore it was a trite, and I gave up on it then. And then the other part of it is the this weird political pandering to groups that don't watch the film. They pander to groups that don't watch the film. It's like, oh no, we need a lesbian droid in there, so we put a lesbian droid in Solo, and nobody fucking likes her. And all the people you were trying to pander to think it was a parody. That's how bad you screwed up. And then you got Lawrence Kasdan, his son, John, I think it's John Kasdan, saying stupid things on Twitter, like, what's his mush? Don Glover's character, Lando Calrissian, is pansexual, which means he's into bestiality, autoerotica, and paedophilia. That's not a good thing for a family film, mate.
Dickhead.
Yeah, then that's the dumbest thing to say, because again, they're pandering to a group of people that they think their audience is, and it's not, because people just want to watch a good film and have a good time. And because they put all this shit out, think about these people that they pandered to, like, it's one ticket per person, yeah? If you play to the family audience, yeah, it's like we'll say 2.4 children, we'll round it up, that's five people, yeah? Five people for a standard family that will go and see that. That's five ticket sales there, because dad wants to see Han Solo and he wants to drag the kids and the mum along, yeah, for an evening because he thinks they'll all enjoy it.
Yeah. Yeah?
There's nothing wrong with that. The downside is dad has to realise that he has to go and watch My Little Pony every so often.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think I did the same with when they had the reboot. Not reboot,
Force
but the Force Awakens.
Yeah.
When that came out, I said to the kids and the wife, "Why don't we go watch this? You might like it. I think they liked the previous films. Let's go do it." And they did. They enjoyed it. They love it and stuff. Rogue One came out, and Rogue One was actually very good, very very good. That's a standalone story. You can't. And so. We went and watched The Last Jedi, and I was totally underwhelmed. I didn't buy any of it. But again, the kids being kids, and not old enough to understand all the shit bits, just action, action, yeah, you know, that appealed to them. But then Solo's out, and there's been adverts and stuff, and the kids haven't even wanted to watch it. And I think, you know, psychologically, they've not been really bothered. I've not really been bothered. And
no, if the kids aren't bothered by it and you're not bothered by it, who's going to watch it? No one. Keith. People like Keith. No, people without...
Keith will go and watch it because he's got a pass. And he'll go...
No, he hasn't got a pass anymore because his pass was for Feltham. He lives in Thailand.
Oh, right. Well, there you go. I think he wanted to go see it if he would enjoy it. I don't know. But I may or may not, depends on if the kids bring it up. But yeah. I'm not going to raise the subject of going to the cinema to go see it.
See, we were having a chat with a friend about this, and I said to him, you've got to go and see it this week, because after this week, I don't think it's going to be in cinemas. Mm. You'll still find Avengers in cinemas, and you'll still find Deadpool in cinemas, but you won't find this in cinemas.
Yeah.
It's annoying because you look at the trailers for it. It looks gorgeous. It does. The visuals they put together for the trailer, please note, because I know that there are other people who've watched it and they've said that certain bits they're talking in shadow, so you can't see who the fuck is talking, and it's like, okay, I can understand that being a bit frustrating. But from what I saw, like the train bit where they're on the train, which looks more like a what you call it ride, a roller coaster ride. I would love that as a roller coaster ride. There's an idea, Disney. Turn that into a fucking roller coaster ride. That would be fucking awesome. Just from what I saw, yeah. And it's they're pandering to people, and they think that the people are there. People, right? It goes like this: people go to watch Star Wars and other and TV shows and stuff to escape. The everyday, yeah, they want to escape, especially with like science fiction and fantasy. So things like Game of Thrones, things like Star Wars, The Expanse, Star Trek, all those things they watch to escape, yeah. And having heavy-handed messages of politics in there, which we've learned recently don't work, yeah, need to be removed. And just want to have some fun, guys. Would you kindly fuck off?
I think it's quite telling. On the opening, was it the opening weekend when you and your missus went to go out to watch Deadpool? You got to the cinema and you noticed that Deadpool was actually completely sold out.
Yeah.
And you, out of curiosity, checked Han Solo.
Yeah. That was
empty.
Yeah.
And so you turned around, went out and went to get something to eat instead.
Yeah.
Rather than watch Solo. And it's telling that it came out at the same time as Deadpool.
Deadpool was out a week before.
Yeah, and it's still a massive draw, and still it's full.
Yeah.
Whereas Solo, nobody was watching it.
Yeah.
You know, it's because the previous Deadpool was awesome.
Yeah.
And so the second Deadpool, you would expect to be awesome. It drives the next in line, the next next movie.
Yeah,
so how it's left means it should carry on.
I think they were under the delusion that just because it got Star Wars in it, it'll break 100 million the first week easy, domestically. And no, it's not. And I think that the person in charge who's responsible for that attitude, Kathleen Kennedy, I think there's rumours that she's already gone. They're just trying to figure out how, Disney are just trying to figure out how to get rid of her in a PR not so nightmare. Because apparently when they did the PR for The Last Jedi, she was banned from appearing. So someone had fucked up big time. And it also makes sense because if you fire two directors not even halfway through, we're talking about 10%, 20% towards the end of the project that you're working on, you fucked up. You should know within the first couple of what they call dailies when they get to watch about the footage that they recorded. You should know then.
So I was just doing a quick check, and so far, the box office is 264.2 million. The budget for the film was 250 mil. But that's not taking into consideration any additional bits. So they're probably in a minus at the moment.
Yeah, marketing, double the budget for marketing, yeah, and then take one third of the box office, and that's what the money you've got. Because what they really need to do with the really big films, yeah, is to break even within the first 2 weeks. I think you break even within the first 2 weeks. So Avengers did it, and so Deadpool. That you break even in a budget in your first 2 weeks, and then after that, everything is then just money, 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 money.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. Okay. E3, around the corner. Really excited.
It's coming.
I wasn't excited about last year's E3 or the year before that.
Mm.
But for some reason, I'm excited about this year's E3. And
has that got to do with a certain game?
Might have something to do with a certain game, yeah. I think there's a real drought of games for this console generation, which is really annoying.
Mm, yeah.
But it's like last year time, we were spoiled because the console generation lasted a lot longer than it should have done, and we got a lot more games than we should have done. But Fallout 76 was kind of teased and then announced and then kind of announced again with another trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Rumours are that it's a multiplayer game version of Fallout, which I'm like, okay, is it going to be like Elder Scrolls?
It's a tower defence game, mate.
Oh, don't fucking say that. I would be so disappointed. Because I saw the announcement, and then I put it in our little WhatsApp group, and Keith's like, oh, they're going to put Fallout 4 on the Switch. I went, they can't put Fallout 4 on the Switch, mate, it'll explode.
Yeah.
You've seen fucking Samsung phones go up. Wait until you see a Switch trying to play Fallout 4. Either the graphics will make it look like it's being played on a potato.
Yeah.
Which there could be a chance of. Or it's not happening. I said to him, because it's not happening, it's going to be an entirely new game. They wouldn't tease
like they've done.
And it does. The thing is that on the trailer, it's like they're in a vault, Vault 76... apparently, where they did fucking nothing to the inhabitants, and there was no experiments, no hitting them with weird noises or installing a dictator or having a weird voting system.
Yeah, what do you call that? The
experimentation?
No. So you've got your control. That's it.
Yeah,
your control vault. All as I think there was about 10, 12
yeah
control vaults. Apparently, this is one of them, and all the rest were having various degrees of different shit happening to people,
yeah.
like being frozen or...
Yeah.
Or
yeah, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, you've got, yeah,
so this is a control vault, apparently.
Yeah, the way the vaults should work. There should have been, like, hundreds of control vaults and, like, a few things, but they did it the opposite way around Vault Tech because they're bastards.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. And, well... They love a good shit show.
It's weird because it's this game is supposed to be the earliest Fallout game. This is supposed to be about the same time that the master in the original Fallout is making super mutants in the new Californian Republic. So I don't know if you're going to come across someone else who's making super mutants like the master character. From the original, that's that. And plus, in the footage, it just had tons of board games everywhere.
Yeah, and they showed footage of the vault, completely empty, shit everywhere, you know.
Yeah,
really messy. A little football, that's soccer for you Americans. Pitch in there, covered with streamers and balloons and balls and things like that, but just not being used. So it's. You do wonder what's actually happening,
yeah,
or happened to the vault as it's the control vault,
yeah,
to see where that's gone. So yeah, interesting to see what Bethesda to say about this.
Yeah, so we have to wait to Bob. I think they had ones before E3, before that happens. But I'm just hoping it's going to be another Fallout game. Just another Fallout game. Turn around and say it's Fallout New Orleans or Fallout New Vegas 2 or Fallout New Republic or Fallout Rise of something. Just give us a straightforward Fallout game, because if it's a multiplayer game with lots of base building in it, I will probably enjoy it, but I will enjoy a full-blown Fallout game more.
Well, don't forget, Bethesda's the company who came out and says single player isn't dead.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, we can only speculate until next week when they start coming out with what's what.
Yeah, another one that kind of snuck out was Assassin's Creed Odyssey, which was revealed via a retailer, I think it was Walmart, that leaked out part of some merchandise.
Oh, okay.
That was being released. So they kind of released that, and then they then went, yes, it is... Fallout, and then it turns out Assassin's Creed Odyssey going to be E3 2018.
And it looked like in the Assassin's Creed symbol, there was a bit of a Greek
Spartan helmet.
Spartan, yeah, helmet.
Yeah, I know that from the Spartan races that you and my wife do.
Yeah.
We have to stand around and wait for you to come back.
you get a lot of time looking at those helmets.
Uh-huh, very funny. We've got that guy dressed up at the beginning of the race yelling at everyone as a Spartan. In leather pants and a cape.
Yeah, literally in the fucking middle of winter.
Do you think he was like kind of, so where's my uniform? They hand him a pair of leather pants and a cape and he turns around and goes...
And a helmet.
And they turn around and go, my stripper. No, you're supposed to motivate people before they go.
Getting warmed up, jumping around, doing a few star jumps and then yell, this is Sparta, quite a few times. Yeah. So, okay.
Yeah.
Interested to see where that goes. I have started playing Black Flag, so I enjoy that one more than the other ones that we've seen.
Well, believe it or not, Watch Dogs shares a universe with Assassin's Creed.
Okay.
And apparently they're releasing a Watch Dogs 3, which has been confirmed.
Hmm.
So... It's been confirmed and it'll be revealed at E3 2018. I haven't played the second one. The reason I haven't played the second one was come back to The Last Jedi. The previous game was just okay, not great. So yeah. I wasn't enthralled by it.
Well, we played the first one. You had the game. I had an app which linked to the
game.
Oh,
yes, we did a great video
and
for that one.
You basically do a race. The person in the... on the PlayStation or whatever
console,
you'll control the car and you have to get from one place to another place, and the person who's got the app logs in using I've forgotten what the hacker thing is called, but you have to make bridges come up and pylons explode and shit like that to stop him and knock him off course and all that sort of stuff. I think that was a a good thing in that game. And I did play a little bit of Watch Dogs 2. I tried, there was a demo, which was a good hour and a half demo of the game, and you could do what you like in it. And I tried that, and it was right, so I bought it, but I haven't got around to playing it, unfortunately. And I would like to.
I'll be honest with you, we'll probably have the next two podcasts going to be totally fucking E3. Because there'll be so much stuff coming out. We'll have heard of stuff by Sunday, and then we'll have probably heard stuff after the Sunday, which we would need to cover in the next podcast. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff coming out. Hopefully we'll hear some more games. I'll put some more emphasis on games, because I feel like games companies have died, and we're only left with people like hanging on by the edge of the seat. The only ones that I consider games companies are Bethesda and Take-Two. EA, I don't think they're interested in making games anymore. And I think Activision are just figuring out what to do, because Call of Duty's not as popular as it was. And I don't think Black Ops 4, get your fucking Roman numerals right.
Yeah, and talking about Call of Duty, I saw a very, very quick, it was about a minute long actually, trailer. Not of, I don't know who's making it, but it's called World War 3.
Yeah.
And it looks very Battlefront stroke Call of Duty. I don't know who's making it though. And it did look interesting. But I don't think it's made by either DICE or Activision. So that, if you're into shooters, it might be one to keep an eye out for during E3, when that hopefully gets announced.
Oh, that was another thing. Battlefield 5 have put a woman on the front of their box. I don't sound rude or anything, but women probably make up, 10% of the armed forces and 2% of the actual fighting divisions. Again, you're pandering to a group that doesn't exist. Stop it. Seriously. If you want to do it, find an actual soldier. I mean, a genuine soldier who has done something heroic, who's got an heroic award, and base the cover off of them. Same thing you do with FIFA and NFL and stuff like that. Would make more sense. It's like, I find it weird because they put a black guy in the front of the First World War one. I mean, black people fought in the First World War. I think probably more fucking Indians fought in the First World War than black people. They could have put Gurkha on the front of it or something along those lines. I think
if they're trying to be a little bit accurate, then yeah, a Gurkha would have been a good shout, because there were fucking beasts on the battlefield.
God, yeah, they scared the shit out of the Japanese.
Oh, they did, yeah.
Japanese were terrified of them, because what the Gurkhas used to do is they used to sneak into camps and kill them and cut their ears off. So they'd wake up and there'd be one guy dead with his ears chopped off.
Yeah.
Which are now decorating a fucking Gurkha necklace, because they were fucking badass like that. I love the story of there was Gurkhas versus US Marines in a training exercise, and the US Marines tracked these Gurkhas for about 12 miles, and they're thinking, oh, I get them. So they finally can track them down. They've stopped for dinner, yeah? So we'll get them now. They've stopped for dinner, yeah? So they jump out, yeah? And he goes, you're all dead. To which the Gurkhas turn around and goes, no, we're not. He goes, no, you're all dead. No, we're not, like that. And the Marine goes, why not? He goes, pull the fucking triggers on your guns. They'd removed all the fucking firing mechanisms from their guns at the beginning and led them on a wild goose chase away from their mates. Because they wanted to demonstrate that you need to pay fucking special attention all day, all night. I don't know how true that story is.
Yeah, who knows, man.
But it's a great story. It's like the US coast, the what do you call it, the naval fleet versus the fucking coast guard, the Spanish coast guard thing, where they're arguing with the Spanish coast guard, and the Spanish coast guard goes, I can't move, I'm an island. The guy's telling him to move, and he's like, you all move, blah 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 blah. Goes, I can't, I'm an island, mate. Let's have a quick look at the PlayStation Plus games and the games for gold, and then we'll wrap up. That's that wrong browser. Okay, so we've got PlayStation Plus games. So if you've got PlayStation Plus this month, I think that you're in for a fucking treat.
That's of course, if you like this sort of game.
Yeah, so if you like this game, even not, give it a fucking go. XCOM 2, brilliant squad-based strategy game. I have played it on... I've played it on the Mac. I have played it on the PC, the PS4, and the Xbox One. That's how good a fucking game it is. I have played it a lot. And the only thing that stopped me from doing it is the fact that I completed it on one platform, and it's like, oh, I can't really do it more on this one.
Yeah. Oh, I played the first one, and that was the sort of the re-release of the original sort of game. And it was good. It stayed as true as it could to, you know, the original game. So if you like the original games and you like XCOM, so yeah, just it's free. You might as well just download it, have a little look, see what you like, and Trials Fusion as well.
I think it's probably good for half hour.
Yeah, yeah, it's a bike game, isn't it?
Yeah, and then we got Zombie Driver HD. Tom Clancy's.
Everything's got his name attached to it nowadays.
Tom Clancy's Bog Roll Holder. Tom Clancy's iPhone case. Tom Clancy's Future Soldier.
And it will sell.
And it would sell, it's got his name. Even though he's been dead for years. He was an honorary beef eater. It was just quite nice. Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Future Soldier. Really old game. So we've got Atomic Ninjas, which I imagine you'll be able to play on PS4. And Squares, I imagine you'll be able to play on PS4. Which is good. Games for gold. You got Assassin's Creed Chronicle Russia. I haven't played these weird ones that they've done. I have to see what it's like. Then you got the Smite Gold Bundle.
What is that? I think Smite is a is it an RTS?
No, it's a
MOBA.
Yeah, MOBA. That's it. Thank you. I can't remember what it's called.
It's a MOBA, isn't it? So
MOBA.
The whatever bundle they're giving you is going to be a bunch of stuff for the MOBA plus the game. Because I think Smite's free.
Yeah, it's weird. Because
Smite's a free game.
I think it's a free-to-play game. I think Smite's a free-to-play game, but it's giving you $100 worth of in-game
it's
shit.
It's a bundle.
Yeah.
A gold bundle they're giving you. Yeah. So if you like Smite, you'll get some... some stuff with.
And they got Sonic All-Stars Racing Transformed, which I had on the Vita. And I really liked that. Really liked that. That was at Mario Kart level. Wasn't as better, but was at the level.
Well, Mario Kart's not a bad thing to aim for. And that's on your 360, but however, as you know, if you've got an Xbox One, you can play that. Lego Indiana Jones 2.
You were going to say Legoland.
Legoland. It's on the brain. Yeah. Yeah. Most Lego games are fairly fun, aren't they?
They're pretty much the same.
They're pretty much the same, yeah.
So I'm just looking for when we got Metal Gear. Because I've got Metal Gear.
There wasn't.
No, because that was Metal Gear on the Xbox.
I'm not being lost.
Right, so hang on a second. So this is just a weird curiosity thing, because in May, Phantom Pain came out on the Xbox Games with Gold, yeah? Which is good. But I'm sure I got it before on my PS4.
I think so.
God, was it the year before? I'm sure it wasn't the year before. I'm sure it was this year.
Bear with us, please, caller.
I can't find the fucking thing. Yeah, I mean, I've got Mankind Divided. That was good. Yeah, it's... Anywho, that's just me dribbling on about some other stuff. So, fucking art now, Nige.
Yeah.
So the problem with all this fucking recording equipment gets slightly loud, slightly hot. So it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.
And you will hear from us in the next podcast. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for downloading the Monkey Nut Punch podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Monkey Nut Punch. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/Monkey Nut Punch.